Blog Talk Radio.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our shows together, we're polishing up our act.
Imhotep, Grand Rising, and Better Love You. I'm listening to the Truth to Power show. I'm Beverly, and we have Thomas Tuckmose Smith with us tonight, and also we have a special guest. Sister Shine will be joining us tonight also. So, Tuckmose, how are you doing this evening?
Doing good, Bev. How you doing?
Great, great.
That's good. I'm doing all right. Nothing new here in the city.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nothing too much happening here either that I know of. It's a lot going on. It's just that I'm not aware of it.
Yeah, yeah. I did see Biden today, man. He was over there in Britain. And he's confused. He thought that the guy with the big fuzzy hat and the red coat, you know, one of the guards.
Yeah.
He turned to the guard. The king is like, this way, this way. He's like, yo, what is wrong with this dude, man? You don't see that big-ass red coat. That ain't the king. Unbelievable, man.
And the big old afro.
Yeah. yeah, he turned to them dudes and start greeting them, and King Charles is behind him like he's pretty much saying, nigga, turn around, I'm this way, you know what I'm saying? Oh man, I'm just like, this guy's unfit, unqualified.
And King Charles is not too far behind him. He got a touch of dementia also.
I think he only got dementia when it comes down to them Epsteins, man. He all right otherwise. But, yeah, he looked like 100 times more confident than Biden when they stood next to each other. It was like looking at Biden standing next to Trump. It was like, damn, this dude is – he's done. Like, we got to do something, man. You got to do something. You saw Jamie Foxx?
No. How he looking?
He looked brand new. I said, is he the clone?
That's what people are saying, that they cloned him.
Man, he looked like a new person. He's playing golf, man. He hit the ball about 400 yards. He turned around. He was on a yacht, you know what I'm saying, waving at people. I said, oh, man. They say he had a stroke and was paralyzed and blind. So is that Jamie Foxx or the real Jamie Foxx?
Oh,
you know, still in the hospital somewhere, and this is the clone. They wanted some test ones, you know, see if they could fool the family, see if they could fool the media. But yeah, he back though. He looked just like he left.
Mm-hmm. And didn't they say that about Chappelle too?
I heard that. I don't know, man. Chappelle. I don't know. He was always weird to me, man. I could never pinpoint it. But, you know, Jamie Foxx was like Chappelle, I didn't really catch him as being a brother until later on in his career. Like, well, he's a real brother, you know what I'm saying? Because when he started out, his comedy was very white. It was sort of like when, you know Whoopi Goldberg started as a comedian, right?
Right.
Yeah, her comedy wasn't for us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was.
Right.
That's how I felt about his comedy. It was. But he got better with Paul Mooney. You know, got in there and I guess started writing the Chappelle Show. And all Paul Mooney gonna do is talk about black people stuff.
You know,
and Chappelle got on board. So I never, you know, it's like he came back black. You know what I'm saying? So he could have been cloned. But for sure, Jamie Foxx was one of us. Like, his comedy was always black people comedy. You know what I'm saying? It was always geared toward us as the audience. And he definitely looks good, man, on the yacht, riding past in Chicago on a yacht. On top of that, like, he riding down the Chicago River on a yacht, you know? Yeah.
Well, I did remember reading about the Congress here. They got to fighting, the Republicans. They had a meeting here, and when one of the Republicans from Detroit, him and some more, I think, went to the meeting, they locked them out. They wouldn't let them in, and the meeting wasn't in Detroit. It was out somewhere. So they knocking on the door. They acting like Detroiters. and when they wasn't black, they was white, but they was acting like Detroiters. And so the guy opened the door and they got to fighting.
Wow. Now, you said that you could go right into Canada from Detroit, right?
Yeah. Now, our lakes are huge, but right here on the Detroit side in Canada, it's real narrow.
Got you. Okay. Because then you don't need to show any ID or nothing. You just go
in. You got to show. I mean, when I went through the back roads, I didn't because I wasn't trying to get to Canada. I was trying to get somewhere else and ended up there on the back roads. But we have a tunnel that goes under the water, and we have a bridge.
Got you. Okay.
You have to show ID.
You got to show ID. Okay. That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you don't need a passport. Do you need your passport?
Oh, yeah. You have to have an enhanced driver's license or something, not just the regular driver's license, because you're going into another country.
Got you. Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw.
It's amazing how you just go across the water and the vibes is different. It's a different vibe. Well, I mean, you get different vibes when you go to different suburbs. So it's not different.
Yeah. I always say that when I leave New York and I go right under the water and get off in New Jersey, like 3 minutes, it's a whole nother,
yeah,
a whole nother wild, like a whole nother mindset you got to put yourself into, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. But is Dr. X coming on tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Perfect. I did have wanted to tell the family, so we're doing the show today on Ladies in IT. I'll be back next week with the human enhancement with some of the future stuff they're going to do with that stuff, because that's where it gets a little bit like, they can't do that. And then, you know, you look down the line, yeah, they did it. You know, so yeah. Oh, that's gonna blow people's mind. It was another story that was in. I forgot the story, Bev. There's something that I read today in the paper, but it blew my mind. It's just geeky. Oh, this guy. You see that they're not doing. It seems like that guy who was supposedly a traitor to Russia, and he was Putin's chef. And he had a rebellion against Putin. And it seemed like him and Putin met. And he backed the work for Putin.
Yeah,
this is weird. This is real weird. Yeah. I knew he was going to get killed. So maybe that whole thing was fake news put out by the U.S., the propaganda, to try to make us think there was a coup attempt or something going on over there when it really wasn't, because there's no way that Putin just let this dude go back to work, you know what I'm saying, without killing, because then the next group of people going to try to do the same thing, he let you go, like you would have to make an example out of him. So I just find that to be really weird.
Yeah, you got to really know what's real and what's not now, because they're just throwing so much fake stuff at us. And I even heard some people saying that the shooting with the black guy and the black woman, that's propaganda too.
What shooting?
You know, when the guy hit the woman and her son came in and shot him.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow. Well,
yeah,
I think
some people that live in Chicago went and investigated it, and they were saying it wasn't adding up what they was telling us. They don't even think it even happened.
Wow. We'll see what Dr. X say about that tomorrow, because he probably knows something, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I have no idea. I know they've been shooting like crazy here in New York, though. It's been every night. It's been shooting all over the news. You know, so I knew that was going
to
come as soon as it got hot. Yeah, but this happened every year when first few weeks of summer when it first get hot and everybody that's been in the house come outside and all that stuff they was talking online, they got an answer for. Yeah, this generally what happens when you see in all these shootings, but they just happening in weird places, like places where you wouldn't expect shootings to happen at. It's like, wow, they shooting there, and it's a lot of innocent people getting hit.
That should be a red flag. They were shooting at people through the bus
and, you know, hit people in the bus, but they was trying to hit somebody on the other side of the bus, trying to shoot. It's been some weird stuff. Like, what are they doing?
Trying to get rid of video games.
Yeah, but these guns they got here in New York, Fev, they not even these kids done got so sophisticated, they make their own guns. They call them ghost guns.
They don't have no... Go ahead.
They don't have no... They get like a kit they buy on the dark web or whatever, and they get the kit, and they make the gun themselves. They can put the thing together, and you can put different pieces on, and you can modify it and have it do this and that. But when the cops catch these dudes with the guns, they not guns that they could tie to any manufacturer. They made them themselves. They call them ghost guns. Look that up, ghost guns.
What they call them
that's
again?
That's what they... Ghost, like
ghost
a spooky
guns.
Ghost.
Okay.
Ghost guns, yeah. They come from nowhere. Like, they just... Like, how these kids get these guns. And they big, too. I mean, real nice guns. But they look a little weird. And, but they work. They got, you know, they could change the inner piece and make it a 45 and then take that piece out and make it a 9 and have a whole nother clip that go in it. They got to have another attachment to the old, you know, they got all different things they doing with these guns. And they not, none of them are from a gun store.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we do have a guest joining us tonight, too, Tuckmos.
Absolutely.
She's in the technology business, too.
And Kwame was sending me some stuff earlier, some statistics. The amount of black women that are not in the field of STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, which... technology is what we're talking about tonight. It's staggering. It's almost with I think they say black women are the most educated group of people in the country. However, and what he sent me, it's like 2% that get into STEM fields. And these are where the money is at. And this is where you get the easy 9-to-5 job. I mean, you could leave a half an hour early and come in a half an hour late. You know, these are the real good jobs. They start with 6 figures. And for someone with kids, this is perfect for you.
Yeah.
The people at my job, like the women, most of the women are white, right? It's only 2 black women in the whole company. And one of them is from England via Dominica. The Allen, Dominica, and the other one is from Jamaica. Everyone else, and it's a bunch of females. They're all Indian, Arabs,
no black females.
Of course, whites. 2 black females, only 2. One of them is from Jamaica.
But they not from here.
They not from here. And it's it's probably about 8 black guys. You know what I'm saying? And, I would say about 2 of them is, I know it for sure, are West Indian. But nonetheless, it's 4 times as many black guys doing it as black females. And that's how it goes across the board. And that this is a field where, if you have, like I was saying, the women drop their kids off at the daycare around the corner from the job. When they get off the train, they get off, pick their kids. It's perfect if you have children, especially a lot of black women are single mothers. Perfect opportunity for you, get all the time off in the world, You could work from home if you don't feel like coming to the office, because technology just is through the laptop. So this is the best field. You don't have to go out like what black women tend to get into is humanities, social services. You don't have to go to nobody's shelter, a prison, a school, a hospital. You don't got to do nothing. You go to a nice air-conditioned, heated office with free amenities all over the place. I mean, top tier. Everything is coming from imports, and it's free. You know, it's all the fringe benefits, car ride home, yacht ride with the company, Christmas party, all that stuff you get. And you know, and you're gonna get 100 and something. I think they start IT and my job off at $114,000. That's coming straight out of college. You know, it's a good job, and the white girls are eating it up. You know, and the Indians, well, the Indians and the Chinese and the Arabs, they get into something more sophisticated called coding. They're more into that, but IT, the white girls are killing the field, and so are the brothers. And IT, that's where most of the black people work. They work in the IT. They work in facilities like I do. They do stuff like that. But IT is the big money. So, this is important for the ladies and the fellas. If you're looking for a career path where you don't got to go out and do manual labor. I mean, you got to do manual labor. You got to lift up a computer. You might have to take it apart. I mean, that's your manual labor. But, you know, you don't have to work on a car engine or deliver no boxes or, you know what I'm saying, stuff like we're normally doing. So, yes, ma'am, Bev.
Yeah, and my thing is, you know, what happens when the AI take over, the robots take over a lot of the jobs? The people who is into the IT and the technology, they the ones still going to have jobs. But the rest of the people, you know, they're going to be on that that $2,000 that they're trying to give everybody a month. And that's all they're going to be able to get. So, but this is perfect for our guest that's coming on, because she's a female. She's and she, you know, what she wants to do is perfect to solve this problem. So let me bring Sister Shine up here to join us. Sister Shine, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. How are you all doing tonight?
We're doing great, great.
Peace.
For the people that not familiar, tell the people what do you do and what is your plans here?
I'm a desktop engineer. Mainly my daily tasks consist of working with computers all day, whether it's upgrading the memory, switching out motherboards, different components, pretty much all of that, moving them around. Basically, I would like to, this is my call to action, I guess, for more of us to become involved in this field, to help people understand that it doesn't have to be intimidating, because it's not at all. It's really not, but this is something that is starting to take over. And if we don't jump on this train now, then I'm afraid we're just going to be left behind once again.
Right. So we always trying to catch up, and we won't have to be trying to catch up. You know, we can be right up there or even be in front of it. So, Tutmos was saying that, you know, there's no black female, and our young people should really be getting into this, because this is where everything is at. And so what is your plan? You have a calling, an idea, a plan. You share it with us?
Yes, that is to create it's not a I feel like having some sort of virtual academy would be best, just to help people start with the basics and the fundamentals, because once you understand those principles, it's so easy to apply. And we have so much technology available at our hands right now, there's no way that we shouldn't be taking advantage of it. We have things out here that can help you start a business, grow your business, your existing business, scale your business, just do different things, things that will, you know, in turn help us change the community, change the way how we all do things, whether, you know, we're young or old. You know, Thomas just mentioned about these young men, you know, building these guns. You have to have a certain level of intelligence to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's apply that in the proper direction. Let's channel that energy in a good way that's going to benefit us.
Right, and you really want to focus on the young people too. So you want to start, you're going to start an online class. You want to start off online to have a place where the young people could come and learn technology?
Yes, something that will get them off of social media, off of TikTok, off of the game, to where they're still able to be sort of in their, you know, in that, you know, still dealing with some sort of technology, but also teaching them how to use it to benefit them.
Mm-hmm.
To help benefit, you know, our communities everywhere. So I feel like virtual would be best just because I'm able to have a broader reach.
Okay, okay. And so you want to be able to, like you say, start from the basics and then, you know, have the young people to know how to build computers, take them apart, you know, learning everything it is about the technology. And a lot of young people, you know, where do you want to start at? Around what age?
You know, these days kids are getting phones shoved in their faces at 1, 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We can't start that early, but I would say maybe 4 or 5 once they're able to start talking pretty good. You're able
right.
to teach them things, have them repeat it back to you, because that's, I feel like that's, you know, that's how the parents are going to be able to help learn and help teach their children as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because you they have cell phones. They're playing with their parents' cell phones now. And a lot of times the parents give them the cell phone, and it keeps the toddlers and them quiet because they're focusing on the cell phone. And
I had broke my phone screen, so I was looking for, you know, someone that could fix it. And I saw online this guy, he'll come to your job, he'll fix your phone. So I said, you know, it was like, this is how long ago? It cost like $40, you know, so I think it costs hundreds of dollars now for this same service. But you know, I was working at big office building, so he came to the lobby. He, you know, all the lobbies in New York are public, so, you know, had tables and chairs. So he sat down and we chatted, and he was saying he came from Brazil, and, you know, he made this lifestyle because he does these phones and he makes all this money fixing phone screens, and he goes from office to office. So let's fast forward a couple years later, got a totally different phone. My phone screen breaks. I think like 2 days later, one of my kids' phone screen breaks. So I call this guy, and I'm waiting for him. And the guy sitting down was like, "Are you Thomas?" So I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "It was a young black guy." And he was like, I'm the guy, you know. So he was telling me, you know, I was chatting with him while he fixed the phone. It took like 15 minutes. And he was telling me that this guy now, he has a bunch of trained all these young black guys how to do it. And he's a Brazilian guy. He's not a black Brazilian. You know, he looks more like a Latino. But he taught all these black kids how to do this. And now they're the ones who ride around and do this stuff for him. And he lives in Brazil. He just gets sent the money. You know what
wow.
I'm saying? So, you know, that's just how important it is to teach the kids stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And these were like 15, 16, 17-year-old kids who probably dropped out of school, wasn't doing nothing with themselves. So he saw them on the streets, and he just taught them a skill. And, you know, now I'm sure they probably got their own business doing it, you know. All they got to do is buy the screens and for whatever the retail value is and charge for their labor, you know. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. That's good. And that's what we're looking at. What's what we want. Rather for them to do that than out there slanging drugs. Well, I do have someone with their hands raised. Let's see. The number here is 323-642-1586. Push the number 1 if you have a question or a comment for Sister Shine with her, what she's getting ready to get involved in. All right, 773-895. Do you have a question or a comment?
Half and half. How y'all doing tonight?
Good.
What's going on, Derek?
What's going on? Okay. See how I can word this question. How would, or from both of your experience as far as working with computers and IT, let me go back a little bit. Now, one of my last jobs, I worked at a VA hospital in Chicago, and one of the biggest jobs or departments that they needed people was the IT department. That's within the hospital. And what's interesting, I'm in Tennessee now, and looking at the top 100 highest-paying jobs in demand as far as Memphis, the whole Memphis area, parts of Mississippi and Arkansas, they're not IT jobs. And a matter of fact, the top 10 jobs that are in demand right now, they're all basically – either in the medical field, doctors, nurses, pediatricians, and pharmacists. So I guess my question is, if we wanted to, like, encourage a young person to get into that field, it seems like if I'm reading this data right, I mean, it's a good field to get into, but it also depends on what part of the country, what area of the United States you live in, because one particular job field might be in demand in one area, but it might not be in another area. You get what I'm saying?
But to me, it's like it's in everything, because look at our cars. I mean, we just drive in computers. You know, everything is computerized.
Well, not down here. I get what you're saying. I guess. Not down here. And it's funny because it's good you brought that up there, because like what's interesting down here, people are driving cars are 10, 15, almost 20 years old. They ride the cars until the wheels fall off. And I mean, you do see people driving Teslas and stuff like that, but it's not really as prevalent down here like it was up in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And, as far as the side hustles down here, like the kids going to college is not really a big deal down here. I mean, depends who you talk to. And like two of the major side hustles down here for young people, for older people also, they get out of high school, they go work at one of the restaurants here, or they do go to college. They don't actually go into the field, go in a restaurant, or they get into real estate. It's a big thing down here as far as buying up a lot of houses and fixing them up and flipping them, because there's not a lot of housing down here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a big, as far as the medical field down here, it's a shortage of different doctors and everything. Now, I did notice something I noticed down here like I didn't see in Chicago. I'm running into more black doctors in here, psychiatrists. A lot of social workers down here opposed to what I didn't see up there in Chicago.
Okay.
But I mean, like I said, the majority of, like I said, this is Memphis, so the black people down here outnumber the white people, you know. So But as far as the icing thing here,
I say this about Memphis in particular. It's not going to have a high IT base. I mean, you can look at the skyline. It doesn't even really have big buildings. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So offices is where you're going to get IT. Like the hospitals need IT. And electric cars are going to come here. They're going to stop making the combustible engines. So they're not going to have a choice but to, you know, eventually switch over because it won't be an option.
But I disagree with you because
that's not even an IT job. That's not even an IT
job. Right, right,
job, right. That would be like more of a electric mechanic type of job. What I'm going to say is, where's the state capital?
Nashville.
I guarantee they have a bunch of IT jobs in Nashville. Because all those state offices going to have people that can maintain the computer systems. Everything is computerized. The electric, from the motor vehicle to taxes, everything is computerized. So the state capitals down south, because the south isn't as, like, it's not like Chicago or New York, you know, like, where big business is done at. Those are, like, poor states, you know what I'm saying? So IT might not be that prevalent down there. What does Sister Sean say?
I would actually say there may not be a heavy IT market available in that area, but that's where we have to take the opportunity to, you know, make a change, you know, even in the medical field. There are ways to, you know, create software that will help better analyze that data, that will help, you know, just help processes and procedures smoother and faster. So there's all different types of ways that you can really apply this to even real estate. You know, there's apps to create, you know. There's a lot of different ways that you can apply technology. So it doesn't necessarily have to be in the actual field of IT. But I will also add, a lot of jobs are hiring remote still. So no matter where you are, you can really get a job pretty much anywhere.
Right, because I know a lot of people because I know one of my doctors I see on a bi-weekly basis. She's not here in Tennessee. She's in Texas.
Right, you do virtual visits, see?
But, like, you even down here, like, what Sister Sean just said, that was interesting, right? Because Memphis is really an area where this is where it needs to be taught at, because the brothers won't have any competition. And once you apply IT to any business that you have, right, let's just say you own a restaurant. They own restaurants, okay. Well, I mean, you're online. You can have your own app. You know, when I go to, like, even if I go to a food truck, I just scan the barcode. Now, you know, on the food truck, order my food through the app, pay through my phone, and then, you know, pick it up when I go outside or something. It's like, IT is everywhere. If they don't know it, it might make their business, it might be what takes their business to the next level. Because once you put this into small restaurants, now you can start taking online orders. Then you can start delivering further away. Then you could probably get enough money to build another restaurant, you know what I'm saying, and have a little chain situation going. But in order to do that, you're definitely going to have to have – you're either going to have to hire an IT person, or you're going to have to hire one, like, that just comes in contractually and sets everything up for you and teaches you what to do. How are you going to be in business? Like, COVID, once COVID hit, all the restaurants that went out of business was ones that didn't want to conform. They didn't want to put a computer next to the cash register and get the orders to come in through Uber Eats and Seamless and Grubhub and Postmates and DoorDash or Food Dash, whatever they call that. All those restaurants thrived during COVID. They got bigger. You know, all the ones that didn't want to, people weren't leaving their house. You know, they were ordering online, just deliver it to me. If you wasn't set up for that, you got left behind. And that's what they
That definitely happened in Chicago. I mean, a lot of, and it was sad because It was a lot of newer restaurants that didn't stay open that long. And after COVID, it killed them. It shut them down. But places like Chipotle, McDonald's, even if you weren't, if the actual lobbies and stuff were closed, people still go through the drive-thrus, you know, push, come to shove, you know. But all the mom-and-pop restaurants up there, they folded for the most part.
Yeah. Let me add someone else to the round table. Kwame?
Hotep and better love, Sister Bev.
Hotep.
Tutmos and greetings, Shine and Derek.
Peace,
bro. What I'm hearing is we're going to be put into regions, the northern regions, the urban areas, and the rural areas. And this is why they're attempting to herd all the people into the urban areas for the technology and that feel of supply and demand and the ability to have that technology work for them and their corporations and for people to start in their entrepreneurship. Rural areas are going to be, yes, it's going to be needed some parts of IT. But when you're looking at, you know, a farmer and people that are in the agricultural business, part of that can be done IT, but the other part is has to have the human factor in it. So it's learning how to balance that part of IT and humanism. And that's the part that we're looking at in how do we as a people become wise enough to use the balance of divine intelligence and artificial intelligence. And so this is the key because we're looking at this whole thing. This country is changing by 2050. They already have an agenda for 2050 to have regions and everything is going to move by rail and waterways. So we looking at technology, what are the advanced fields that are going to be for, I sent it to you, Tutmos, the statistics saying that black women in 2060 will be the majority of women in this country. So what are we looking at as far as being able to prepare those that are coming out of the womb now and being able to set up the type of learning and educational tool systems to be able to prepare them for that field that will be here in the next two generations. These are the tools that, yes, we have to get into the field. And, you know, I even look back at it and look at the history of this country. It was the picking of cotton. Now it's the clicking of apps. The picking of cotton and the clicking of apps, they're simultaneously working because that cotton made thread in order for them to make textiles. That computer has to have fiber optics to use that thread of fiber glass optics to be able to do what? To make texts and communication. So what you're seeing is that one field that started with that cotton was king and that part, it just moved into a technological. It went mm-hmm. from agriculture to industry to moving into technology because it's basically still using the part of human connection. Is that every time we click on any app, anything that you click on, there is a profit. Every time you pick cotton, there was a profit. So you're looking at the industry, but how do we take from that looking at that to looking at now? And these are the tools that we should be able to look at and see how we could advance greater, because the greatest cotton was Egyptian cotton. And after the Civil War, Egyptian cotton became king of the world. You can't sleep on Egyptian sheets unless you're paying $500 for those sheets.
Right. And that's why, Sister Shine, I think it's right on time. Like you say, the young people, you know, at least, and even if somebody want to use technology as a weapon, at least if we know it understand it, if we can build it, we also can protect ourselves from harm of what if they wanted to use it against us.
And there's a Nigerian brother in Nigeria. He's a physicist, a computer physicist. He says that they know how to create the viruses to attack most computers. They have perfected viruses. They know they can attack computer systems, but they're not using it, but they're using it to make programs to work. But they also know if we can make programs with these programs, you can make the virus. And that's the protection that you're going to have.
Yeah. That's right.
Also, we have to get back to our true selves. Whenever we are dealing with technology, creating technology, we have to remember that, one, we already have the divine intelligence on our side. That's first and foremost. Secondly, we have pure intentions. So when you have pure intentions, that vibrates. Anything that you touch, anything that you create should have the same.
And this is why, and I thank you for that, because this is the part that we have to find the balance. Because there is a challenge here on Turtle Island, the divine intelligence on Turtle Island versus the artificial intelligence. This is where we're at as human beings living here on this planet. But basically what we're doing is living here on this Turtle Island. We have that challenge because in their using this technology, they went from Jim Crow to Jim Code. There's still the racial factor that's being put into these algorithms and to these applications in order to look at Silicon Valley and look at how many people that are in there that look like the percentage of us that are programming and making these type of programs for it to be used. This is where we have to be able to get into that field. Because I heard the last time they had the big convention in Canada for IT, they were blocking the Africans from coming, saying that they didn't want them attending because they didn't have the experience of the ITs that were there that were from the United States and Europe. These are the challenges that we're going to face because Ruha Benjamin's book, Race and Technology, shows how this technology is geared for Europeans, not us.
And we the only ones can change that. They're not going to change it.
Let me say this
to Kwame, that we don't have the same problems that Africans have because they don't have access to the most updated technology, and we do. We live in the United States. So we can go to the store and buy the most updated technology, come home, put it in the most updated Wi-Fi, most updated system. There's no excuses for us to put ourselves in the same boat as them. So, yeah, when the Africans go to a conference where they're dealing with the most updated versions of IT and they don't even have minor infrastructure to support the internet like that, it does make it kind of seem like, why are you here? You know what I'm saying? But they won't do that to us. We come from the United States. You know what I'm saying? And the way that the technology is spoken about, right? Because I do this whole show on technology, and then people will come in and want to go back to nature. And so are we going to learn the technology or are we going to go back to nature? You know, it's no about me. You know, we have to learn the technology because this is where this is going. If we learned the internet when it first came out, we would all been billionaires, but we didn't. We learned it later. This is here now, and it's like the conversation when it comes down to black people. When you talk to white people about technology, you watch their programs, everybody's like, they want to learn it. And when you talk to black people, they want to run from it. No, let's get away from it. Let's try to go somewhere where it don't exist. But like even the divine intelligence aspect of it. We need to learn artificial intelligence. We need to learn it. To learn it, how to control it so it doesn't control us. We need to learn how to program it, how to use GTP and things. We don't need to worry about some intelligence from outer space. We need to learn the intelligence that's right in front of us so we could do better here. You understand? It's like running from the problem.
The part that you said about the African and not having the technology. The continent of Africa has the mineral resources that all these damn technology companies rob and steal from. How is it that
what part of Africa can they take that resource and make the technology?
The
Congo, the major mineral resource in creating the microchips and the tech using for creating technology comes out of that continent. The mineral resources that basically all these computer companies, China, all America, all of these companies are in Africa taking the mineral resources of Africa and Haiti. If we control the resources of the land that we were, though our ancestors was born on, they could not have the monopoly that they did, because this is what they have done in going in and robbing and taking that resource that comes from the earth that we were born on a continent.
Okay, so can the people in the Congo take those resources and build a microchip? No. Can they build a battery? No. So they have the resources. They don't control them because they don't know what to do with them. And the people that have their countries that know how to work this stuff, they leave their country, go to the United States, England, Sweden, France, wherever, and they make this stuff, but they don't go back to their country and teach their people nothing.
How is that our problem? If we had our people to invest and buy those mines and put the market of the mineral resources that China and all of these other countries are taking out of Africa, we would have a part of the monopoly. This is what I'm just looking at. We're looking at, because we did not use all of the diamonds and gold. We did not look at that as that. But the invaders came in and stole and took it and created civilization.
You know the story. They
capitalism.
Stole their resources. We got it. But so what? They ain't doing nothing with it.
So what?
What are we going to do about it? You want us to go to Africa and buy a mine, right? We don't even own the hair market, and we're the number one people in that market. We don't own the weed market. We don't own the hip-hop market, and we're the people that make that. Where do you see, like, this is? If we did this, let's deal with what we can do. That's not going to happen. We're not going to control the resources in Africa. They can't control their resources. How black people here are going to control the resources in Africa? We don't control our own neighborhoods.
Then that's where we need to begin, because we got to control the family. The family is the First Nation. This is where we got to start.
Let me add Philadelphia to the table. 215.
Better love. Hold up, y'all. Better love, Sister Sean. So the other day, I was in the park meditating, grounding, right? And something popped in my mind. I was like, all right, they got robot dogs. I need to be trying to create a robot cat or something to offset them robot dogs. And I was really sitting there. I was really thinking about how I could create it, how I could start. And it's crazy that Sister Sean is on and giving us this information, because I need to know how I can sign up. Because first of all, I'm tired of delivering packages for Amazon. Like, I'm tired. Today, I had 179 stops, like 179 homes to go to. Like, I'm tired. Like, I need to know where I can sign up and how I can get on board. Now, number two, family, I don't know. Like, I travel, too. So what I'm noticing is there's not going to be any more rural areas. Like, most of the rural areas in Pennsylvania and southern and central New Jersey, all of the rural areas, Toll Brothers is buying it up, putting townhome communities and single-family home communities there. It might not be a densely populated area like Philly or Newark or Harlem or something like that, but the counties they're going to have millions of people in them. It's going to be spread out. Also, what I'm also, for the region that I'm in, how can black people get into IT in the Philly, New York, Jersey region if all the East Indians are taking control of that community? Because I don't deliver for Amazon in Philly no more. They got us in the suburbs. No lie, every townhome community, every single family gated community is all East Indian. I delivered a package today. The guy wanted me to deliver it into his garage. Delivered in his garage. He's sitting in his living room with a headset on. He clearly doing some type of IT work. So, back to, what Brother Derek was saying, I think some of this stuff is regionalized too, because certain markets is going to get sold up by them and where they moving to. In Northern Jersey, it's a lot of East Indians in Northern New Jersey. So how can
a lot
black people on the Northeast side, from Delaware to Boston, how can we get into the IT field and offset some of the East Indian stuff?
The East Indians, they do IT in my office and stuff. Well, every office I worked at, the white people hate them because they don't understand what they're saying. What? They be, repeat yourself. I don't understand. Change your tone. They be too mad, disrespectful. And even they don't like the Chinese people for the same reason. I heard a white lady tell a Chinese dude, see, that's because your eyes are halfway closed. If you open your eyes more, you would see more. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, they don't do that to us when we're in that field because we communicate with them perfectly. And being that we communicate, just as good as white people communicate, we speak the King's language, we get those jobs and we tend to do. Even the West Indian brothers, they speak English in a way that everyone understands them. You know what I'm saying? So they get those jobs. But, yeah, so don't be threatened by that. A lot of them Indians do coding. A lot of the IT is hands-on, right? So I don't know about how Sister Shine does it, but how I've seen it done. Like, in my job, like, if I need my ID badge isn't working on the door, I got to go to IT. They give it access. They have, like, the inside, mechanisms of everything that works. If my time sheet isn't uploading, I go to them, they fix that. If I can't log in, my password, I forgot, whatever. They do that type of stuff. They also, like, we have a new hire. They got to set up, two screens here, the base. They do that work. So it's pretty hands-on. So when you see the people working from home, they probably do coding. They do some type of programming. You know what I'm saying? Because they could just do conference calls all day, and they could just look at the code and make sure that it's staying in line and make alterations to it as it comes across their screen. Like, IT is a more hands-on. And IT has really nothing to do, not yet, has really nothing to do with AI. This is dealing with the physical software and hardware that the company or the industry, whatever type of business you have, uses. Every company, like everybody at my company, gets a laptop. We don't own a laptop. The company owns it, so, if anything goes wrong with that laptop, I bring it to IT. They got to fix it, Or they, the fan isn't working. They put a new fan in, or they give me a whole new laptop, or give me a loan of laptop until they fix my laptop or something. So they're more hands-on.
Right. So just to piggyback off what you said real quick. So I went to HBCU for my freshman and a little bit of my sophomore year. Got tired of it, came back to Philly, went to community for a little bit, but I got my trade degree in cardio technology, right? So when I got my job at this hospital, the only reason why I got hired was because I could speak English. Now, the guy that I was rivaling against, I actually went to trade school with him. And the first thing, when I actually got hired my first day, what the boss told me was, we didn't hire him because we couldn't understand anything he was saying. His Indian accent was way too deep. So Yeah. All right. I'm gonna look into that. But that is true. And a lot of people, you know, they is getting tired of not being able to understand anybody. When you call for help, I got bit by a dog at work like 2-3 weeks ago, right? And when I called Amazon's, you know, help desk, they from India. The people that, you know, maps our routes, that does the logistics, the people that do the logistics for Amazon is in India. Like, they're in India. They're not even in America. Like, they're in India. So America's kind of getting tired of offsetting our jobs and offsetting our stuff to other people. So I'm definitely going to look into it and not let that, you know, stray me away from getting a job at IT. Because I'm looking to chill. I haven't had physical jobs since I've been working. So I'm just ready to chill now and make good money and put something to good use. And like Sister Sean said, help the community out. Like I was saying with the robot dogs, hey, if I could create a robot cat that do something to offset the robot dog, or, you know, y'all was right. Like, we got to soak this knowledge and this information about IT and how this computer stuff works so that we won't be left out. Because right now, how it's looking, we're going to be in a District 9 type situation. Like, or it's going to be like Elysium where we live in third world and everybody else got the technology and got everything, but we don't because we didn't take advantage fast enough.
And that's my fear. Like, that's my fear it is. We going to fall behind. You know, once you fall behind, like, in certain areas, it was cool. Certain time periods because the technology wasn't that rapid. But now you can't fall behind. And I was working at, now I'm talking 1999. I'm working at Deloitte and big accounting firm, and they called in thousands of people, told them they was offshoring their jobs to India. These people were crying, like, you know, their job was gone. They had decent job graphics, proofreading, all these different, you know, computerized jobs. They could have someone in India doing it for half the pay. And they could just send it back online, you know, it wouldn't have to be on hands-on, you know what I'm saying? If they needed something printed, they'll prepare the document and send it as a PDF, and we just print it out. So whole groups of people, that's about when it started. They called it offshoring. It's, and a lot of the jobs that they offshored were technical jobs, you know, that black people have. Good jobs, too. Like, people worked in these companies for 20, 30 years proofreading. All of the documents and stuff they send to court or whatever, but now they have some Indian do it, you know, and they do it just as good for half the pay. So that's all. I remember when that happened, and that was terrible. But it's just like when I call my phone company, I get a person from Malaysia. I don't understand nothing. You got to put this code in. Like, what? Put the code in. Like, wait, you know, say that slow. Spell what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? Because they, and white people don't like dealing with that in offices. Like, over the phone is one thing, but when you in their face, you can't explain why this thing ain't working, or they get very nasty. You know what I'm saying? So they want a person in those positions. So those jobs, I think, will be relatively safe. Certain aspects of it can be done by the AI, but for the most part, they're going to want to know why their computer isn't working right now. You know, so they ain't trying to hear later. I pay you. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Right.
You got anything to say, Sister Sean?
Yeah. You're
so quiet.
I was trying to get in, but, you know. I would also say a lot of these jobs are, you know, again, they're remote. So many companies are still, my company is probably 95% remote out of like 5 different sites all over the nation. So like no one's really in the office anymore. Also, yeah, they're not too, a lot of American companies aren't too big on offshoring to India or really any other country anymore because there's so many ransomware attacks that have been happening over the last, what, 2 or 3 years. So companies are finding that their systems are getting hacked, their data is being held for, you know, ransom for millions of dollars. So, Yeah, they're really not really allowing any external access outside of the U.S. So that's another thing that works in our favor. But a lot of times you got to understand the job is also going to train you. I've trained so many remote employees without ever seeing them in person on the same things that I do every day. So that's another thing that you have to consider. We have tools like ChatGPT out here that can create you a resume.
Yeah.
One of my friends just told me, she said she got 20 years experience from ChatGPT. I said, you make it sound like it just handed it to you. She said it did.
It do, yeah.
But, yeah, we have tools like that that we can use to our benefit that can, you know, a lot of these companies, they lie about the starting salary on, you know, whenever they post the ad for the job. If they can lie a little bit, so can you.
Right, right.
There's always experience.
So, and also, will you be teaching not just only the children, and I know it's important that they need it, but it's also important that the parents need it also. So you got grown folks that want to jump in on this too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would definitely be for all ages because I do believe that the parents need to be involved because they're going to, you know, reiterate that to their children as well. So
okay.
We definitely going to be a family affair.
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kwame.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm overstanding the IT, and I'm an elder, so, you know, this is all new and different, and I'm grateful for Generation X and Millennials. The part that I'm looking at now in the next field that they're going with this 5G C-band, and the C-band is moving from the 4G to 8G frequencies. And how is that field looked at as far as we're talking about IT, but that satellite banding, that this is what they're shifting over to from fiber optics to satellite, I mean, and bringing it down from antenna and creating that field. How do you see the possibilities of people getting into that field now that it's just starting and they're going to be utilizing this as far as the electric cars and driving things, and it's going to be run from satellite instead of from cable?
I would say right now they're pretty much gatekeeping a lot of that information. And so if there's an opportunity for us to get in, we should definitely take that. I am not too familiar with it yet. I've seen it come up in a few articles, but I haven't learned enough about it yet for me to really have an actual opinion.
Okay. And just looking at future, what is coming in the future, these are going to be the things that they're implementing now in order to create a higher grade of this technology and being able to get in, okay, like Sutton Host was saying, if you had got in on IT in the beginning, the thing that you would be at is, yeah, we would be wealthy and prosperous, but you can get in on this next stage of this development, going from fiber optics cable in ground to satellite and disk. And I think it was it Elon Musk or Zuckerberg, one of them, took over that and saying that he's going to run his Twitter or whatever from satellite as opposed to running it through cable.
Yeah, I heard that. I think it's Musk. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Elon.
Yeah.
But I say right now is the most opportune time for us because, for one, this technology is still available for free, for absolutely free. So we don't know how long this will even last. While we have the opportunity to have it at our fingertips for free, I think we should definitely take advantage of it. And there's so many different things that it can be applied to, any sort of industry, any business. Anything. I once had a job where we monitored water levels based on technology. Like, it would send you an alert once the water level reaches so high. So we can use this in any industry, whether it be agriculture, technology, healthcare, anything.
Yeah.
But now, and you don't have to go to school.
Benefit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Y'all go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
And you won't have to go to school, because I'm not saying I don't want to go to school, but I ain't trying to go back to nobody college. Four years, like, I just need at the most 8 months training. You know what I mean? Like, because it's a fast-paced world. Like, I don't have time to, like, have a job, mm-hmm. pay my bills, and go to, like, school, too. And, like, I look for, like, entry-level positions in IT, and they be slim to none, or it be, like, a qualification that I don't have that's probably take, like, you know, a six-month training or whatever. But is there something where, like, you could work and receive training at the same time? Like,
there's actually this this app that I've been using for quite a while, just for different things. It's called Udemy, U-D-E-M-Y. They offer a lot of different technology courses that are pretty much from entry level to advanced level. They're not very expensive. Some of them will even help you prep for your certifications that you may want to take. But a lot of this stuff is so repetitive that you won't even mm-hmm. need the 8 months. Like, I would say within just maybe 6 to 8 weeks, yeah, you can really, because a lot of it's repetitive. A lot of it's really just the basics. Did you turn it off and turn it back on? You know, a lot of people think that's crazy, but like 90% of the time, that's what it is. You know, so a lot of
so
it just really.
I have UDMI. I have that because I did a real estate class. It was like $11 or something like that. It was like this real estate class. So I already have the app. So I'm going to go in there and look for some IT stuff.
Yeah. And they have sales all the time. Like, they have a lot of really good trainings on there. So that's one way. Also, Google is very, if I run into something that I just absolutely cannot figure out, Google is going to help me every single time.
YouTube too, yeah.
YouTube as well, yeah.
True.
But yeah, we have these tools that are right here. We have
to
just use them, really.
I went to a school called Chubb, the Chubb Institute. I don't think it exists anymore. It has another name. But that's where I got a certificate in help desk tech support. This was in 1998, so that certificate is useless now. But that's what when you go to school for IT, that's what it's called, help desk tech support. That's pretty much what it is. And it was a 18-month course. And it gave you the same equivalent to a 2-year degree in the subject matter, but it was like 18 months, and you had to go every Tuesday, like Thursday, or Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or something like that. And it made all different types of systems, but I'm sure like they got schools like that still exist. And mine was only 18 months because, well, this technology was kind of new then, so they wanted to teach people everything they had. So I learned AS400, even though that's obsolete. I learned, the big floppy disk machines, like flow machines and things like that stuff was all going out of business, but some companies still used it, so they taught it. But I'm sure that them courses are shorter now. And also, I think, like, even if you go to your local colleges, a lot of the courses are free if you take free online courses. Even Harvard has free online courses. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm not sure if they do it in help desk with tech support, you know, IT, but, you know, just look and see. I'm sure some schools do. And they just give you a certificate through the mail. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying Microsoft and Google has courses that are free also.
Yeah. And then you get a certificate. And really, that's your qualifications you put on your resume. You know, and part of getting a job, 90% of it is if they like you. It ain't if you fit their qualifications. You know what I mean? Unqualified people I've worked with over the years, like, you know, how many jobs I've had that I wasn't qualified for, but I went in there and the person liked me during the interview. Oh, hold on, let me have you meet somebody else. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm in here. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
You know, so it's all a matter how you interview. That's the skill in itself. You know, you can get a job. You can get a job you ain't got no knowledge of, but they like you. still keep you, you know, and they'll train you on, like she said earlier, they'll train you on the job, you know, so, yeah.
But could I ask a question? Being a senior and, you know, looking at this, is it something that in the field where people 50, 60 years old getting ready, you know, getting ready to not have the technical skills and being born at that time because there wasn't technology in the younger part. It came in the 80s and 90s. But the part I'm seeing is my mom is 91 years old and they gave her an iPad for her birthday and trying to watch her figure that thing out. It's phenomenal because she feels she's breaking something or it's not working the way she thinks it works. And how do you see that for being able to help guide those elders, those parents that we now have that are at that age, that they technology is key in part. They can't do banking. They can't write, you know, a lot of things is not writing a check and putting it in the mail. You got to do your bill paying online. How do you see that as being a course that needs to be taught to our elders?
Now, as far as online banking, that's a very good question. As far as online banking and bill paying, that's going to be difficult, but with anything, with our elders and technology, we have to bring the kids and the young people in first, like, because they know so much. But first, with learning, you know, helping her learn how to use her iPad, have one of the kids help her download just a simplified layout to where, you know, she only got two icons. She know which one is this and which one is that. That can help simplify a lot, you know, so she's not overwhelmed by too many icons on the screen. As far as any more technology, that's going to be a challenge just because, of course, everything, you know, when it comes down to the font is so small on the screen, you know, I can barely read it sometimes. So that's going to be a totally different challenge. But I would say with them, you know, we have to keep it simple, you know.
They have an old people mode in the iPhone. Everything is big, like all the writing and everything is big. It's like a old person mode. I don't want to call it an old
magnified
person mode, but it does something to it where it makes the phone real simple. You know what I'm saying? And I think that the elders, what she said was perfect. The little grandkids have to teach the elders, man, because they love the little grandkids and, you know, they're just going to get a kick out of how smart the little grandkids is, figures teaching them how to do this stuff. And that's always been the key, like, you know, programming a remote control or programming a microwave or whatever. I go to my grandmother's house. Let me do that for you, Grandma. Let me show you, you know. I think that's the kids, you can't teach them, you know, so it has to be from the little kids and they have to, you know, love those little kids because they're going to be looking and learning, but at the same time, they're going to be in awe, you know what I'm saying, how smart they are, how they're able to figure this out at such a young age.
Right, but the other part, and I see this reason because when she had to go into therapy and she was put in a senior's home, and the thing that watching going into that senior's home and seeing all of those old people sitting in wheelchairs or sitting in chairs, wasting away, I was looking at, wow, what could we do bringing the young people, to bring a class to where each one of those elders would get an iPad and be taught how to go on Facebook or how to go on certain things to be able to communicate with the world because they're sitting there and lost in the world that they grew up in and not connected to the world that's out there now.
Yes, and you're right.
How do we take care of our seniors in those homes? And that would be, like you were saying, the brother did fixing the phones, Tutmos, and teaching young people. If we could teach young people how to go into a senior citizen's home and have classes with elders and teaching them how to use technology to be able to catch some of the wisdom that's still in them before they die away.
And,
yeah, that would be great.
And that's, I have a 90-year-old auntie, and all she wanted to know was how to get on Facebook and how to pay her bills. And that's what she did. She had her grandchild to come over, and they taught her how to get on Facebook and how to pay her bills. And I told her the same thing you said, Kwame. They have a meeting every whatever, once a week, and downstairs in their building. And I say, why don't you have to get the young people $5 a head or something, and they'll come in and teach y'all how to get on Facebook and stuff like that. That would be great.
Right, because they would be able to create, leave their stories, even to be able to I mean, we got microphones, and you can record yourself, and having an elder sit there and tell the story of their life is recording their encyclopedia.
Yeah.
We got to look at how to use these technologies.
Right.
Yeah, it's good to make money, but how do we honor those ones that we came from?
Instead of them sitting there wasting away. You're right.
Right.
And that was a great idea. That was a great idea. A good, that would be like a good nonprofit too, you know, like take the kids for the summer and bring them to the senior home and teach them how to get on social media and pay their bills online and stuff.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, and that's, you know, some extra money that the young people can make.
Yeah, but
over
it also, it teaches the IT skills that the children, the young people have, being able to use it to pass on the knowledge that they have that the elders don't understand, and the elders what they have to be able to share with them. It's kind of an exchange.
Yeah.
I'm getting something new from this young person, and I'm sharing something old with this young person.
Perfect. Yes.
And what y'all said is profound about the kids teaching the elders, because a lot of times when, like, we try to teach the elders, we get frustrated and we groan. So it's like we can show our frustration. Kids really can't show grandma their frustration because they might get popped up. So, you know, they're a little bit more humbler, and they can be a little bit more friendlier with it. With us, you know, we sucking our teeth. We like, damn, like, why you ain't get it yet? Like, I told you that button was for that. I told you to press that. My dad, he turned 84 in the beginning of this month. My sister had to get him a flip phone because he kept locking himself out of his Android. But when my mom was living, she taught my dad, like, my mom had two iPads. She passed away when she was 71 in 2015. She had two iPads. She knew how to work her iPhone. Like, she was on Facebook. She was on Instagram. Like, she was on it all. And she taught my dad everything through Apple. So then when she passed, my sister and them, they got my dad an Android phone, and I'm like, why would y'all give him an Android phone? Like, it's too much going on. Like, he knew how to use an iPhone. Like, he never got himself locked out of his phone. He never, he just knew how to work a phone from an Apple point of view. And now that y'all got him this Android, he locks himself out of his phone every other week. He can't get the stuff that he knew how to get to through an iPhone. So now they got him a flip phone. Can't text him, can't do nothing. And like y'all said, like, he hostile towards me trying to teach him, my brothers. Like, only one of my sisters can get through to him. So I think I'm going to have to get some of his grandkids to, you know, sit there. Well, the little ones anyway. The ones that'll be scared to get popped up. I got to get them and, you know, show them how to work stuff. I'm going to get them an iPhone.
Right.
In about another week or two.
And that's a good thing, because the thing that I'm looking at is we used to get lap time from our grandmothers and our grandfathers when we were children. Now is the time for us to now take that laptop and give that to them, to give them some time of what technology, what I've grown up to know and understand. Now I can share it with you like you share it with me with having that lap time and conversations with that child. It's an exchange. It's given back.
I believe some of those
like
stories
have been lost. Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, I believe some of those stories have been lost, and they do need to be retold.
Mm-hmm.
True. True. You know, why
and we got
down.
The technology. The technology is here. So it's easy. All you do is just hit record and have them on and have their face on there, and they're talking. And they're giving you a story that you can play back to the great-grandchildren. Here was your great-grandpa telling you the story about his life. That's how we can use this technology also.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the seniors, like you said, Brother Kwame, they're lost in what's going on. It's like they're here in the world, but it's like they're non-existent because everything is online, everything is social media, and this, that, and the third. And they just lost, you know what I mean? And, you know, with that laptop and with that, you know, one-on-one time, you know, the grandparents and stuff like that, the older aunties and stuff, they can give the kids, you know, they can tell them a story. And then they can tell them, oh, well, search up this and find this for me so I can tell you, you know what I mean, what really happened and this, that, and the third. Or if you don't believe me, search it up on Google, you know what I mean? So that adds extra to the kids knowing their history, too.
Right, and you can have your family tree. And being able to go online on all of these genealogy pages and be able to look up people and show them, is this who you talking about and was she born here and that? So you're now getting documentation from that person that lives that can authenticate what you're going to have as your family tree.
Right, right.
It's a lot we could do with technology. Now, Sister Shine, Sister Shine, do you have a contact information that people want to get on the waiting list for when you open up your learning center?
Yes, it's T like Tom, M like Mary, ATTCOU at gmail.com.
Say it again.
T, M, like Mary, ATTCOU at gmail.com.
Okay. So if a person is interested for themselves, their children, they can get to you through this and they can get on your waiting list and they could be in the first class.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you repeat that one more time?
We're opening up registration in late September.
Okay.
I was trying to get it typed in, and it's TMTT. What else?
TMATTCOU at gmail.com.
Perfect.
All right. Thank us.
Yes. Just like we have a Jedi school, you know, he's doing a great job, and we have the other brother in California, he's doing a great job, and we have Crenshaw, so that's what it takes. It takes us to do it, and it's the network, and we just have to keep
right.
It growing.
Yeah, part of the Overground Railroad,
Yeah. But kind of tell us some of the things that you would be teaching, Sister Shine.
We'll be starting with the basics, just understanding hardware, no matter whatever type of device it may be, whether it may be an iPad, laptop, desktop computer, just understanding the basics of hardware, then starting with our peripherals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have an issue with your, you can't type on your mouse. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't type on your keypad. You know, doing the basics of troubleshooting around that, and then moving on to software, protecting yourself. So there's a security element with that, protecting your hardware, your data, your personable identifiable information. because I feel like that's most important. That has to be the foundation if you're going to be online. You have to learn how to protect yourself in many different ways. So we'll be covering some security features, how to use those, how to use software and things that you that may help you in your everyday life, whether it, you know, be, you know, how to budget better, you know, online budgeting tools, things like that. Also moving on to more advanced software, like VPN, VPN security, also different malware protection software. So just kind of covering a wide range of things, but I know it's going to have to be sort of paced in a way so that everyone's able to learn, everyone's able to grasp the information and, you know, not walk away feeling like they still don't have a better understanding than what they came with.
Okay.
All right. Excellent.
And after each learning or each class or each session, will they get some kind of acknowledgement or some kind of certificate or something?
Yes. Yeah, there will be a certificate because there will be, I'll be opening up other levels as well. We'll just kind of be starting with the basics, then we'll move on to other levels. So, yeah, for each level that you advance to, there will be a certificate.
Okay. All right. And I noticed, like, a lot of times when you get your computer, they already have protection on there. So you're saying you have to add more protection to it.
It's really about configuring the settings on that, because my thing is not to have everyone going out, you know, buying up additional software, just, you know, spending money on things that they may not need. So it's just basically configuring those settings within the existing software to make it to have maximum protection as possible.
Okay.
Could I ask a question on that? Because I have, okay, a Samsung, and then I use iPad. I have an iPhone and iPad. I create my presentations with iPad because the Microsoft, and I mean, I'm using Microsoft on it, but there's a great difference in how you can structure on a Android phone as opposed to structuring on an iPhone. Do you see that? And the thing that I found too with Android and Microsoft, where as opposed to iPhone and Mac, is you get less viruses in Macs and iPhones and iPads than you do with Microsoft.
Yeah, Apple does have a more higher level of encryption, and that's simply, I think that mainly goes to Android being a more open concept software. So Android pretty much allows users to create really anything and everything. Apple is more locked down, if you will. So it does not allow as much freedom for anyone outside of their own developers to really do much.
Right.
So that's where, you know, there's more firewalls that they have to kind of get through in order to, you know, impart a virus onto your system with Apple.
So in taking your course, which would you say would be recommended, to use a micro or you use an iPhone, a Mac, Apple?
I would say it really comes down to your preference, because it also, it's based on what you're going to be using it for. So that would really,
right,
you know, all come, you know, come down to really what you're needing it for and then your own personal preference. But yeah, we'll definitely go over, because we're going to be covering more than just like the basics. So we'll be going over like phishing attempts, so, you know, where people, you know, where you're just not clicking on everything. You can't do that. So, you know, you can't click on just every link that comes that, you know, that you come across. So there'll be things like that, what to look for within those different links that automatically let you know this is definitely a scam. Just different things that you can just with the naked eye look at it and tell, yeah, something is not right about this. So I'm going to pass.
See, that's good, because my dad, he gets mixed up when it be ads at the bottom and they look legit. And, like, let's say he'd be like, ooh, that looks nice, and then click on it, and then it'd be something else, or it'd take you to porn or something crazy like that. And that's because he has that Android. With Apple, he would have a little bit more security. That's what I was trying to tell my siblings. With Apple, he would have a little bit more security, so he won't get tempted to click on something and end up on porn or something. Like, so, Brother Kwame, like, it all depends on, you know, like she said, like, what you trying to use your phone for, what type of businesses you have, Android, you can do more things with it. So if you, like, look in the program, and I guess if you work, like, in the stock exchange or something like that, maybe an Android might be better for you, because one of my friends has one of the new Androids, whatever it is, and, like, he could do, like, 7 things at one time on one screen. Now, he's a business-type job or IT job. He don't need to do all that, but it all depends on, you know, your level of what you're doing in life.
Well, what I'm using and doing that I've been using Apple for is basically presentations and historical presentations, and being able to cut and paste and put together a presentation and run it with videos and audio in it, to be able to, when I go and make a presentation at wherever I'm going of a gathering, then I'm able to open that PowerPoint and present that presentation with all of the diagrams and pictures and things that I put together for that. But that's what I basically use mine for.
Okay.
Now, the key thing about when it's a computer, if it's an Apple computer, Apple in general, it's only compatible with other Apples. So that's why people tend to use Microsoft, because Microsoft is compatible with everything that's not Apple, and Android is compatible with everything that's not Apple. So, like, at the jobs that I've had, we've always used Microsoft. Whatever our Internet Explorer and everything comes through Microsoft, and the company runs, like, their own firewall behind it. So when we're logged in, they're in charge of what we can see. So if I go to a certain page, like TMZ, I can't go to TMZ. They'll block that. You know what I'm saying? So, but Apple is specific for people who use, like, they do graphic designing, things like that, interior decorating, and, you know, they got to use a lot of, like, graphics and things like that. People tend to use Apple, but the problem is, like, let's just say Kwame had Apple, and he shows up to an event. 9 times out of 10, other people are going to have a Microsoft or Android, because those are the standards. And then his won't be compatible with theirs. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem with Apple. It's always been, like, if I did a spreadsheet in Apple, I can't transfer that to a Microsoft computer. So I have to do it all over again in a Microsoft. You know, it's just, it's not compatible.
I learned that lesson. That's why I brought me a projector. So when I go and do a presentation, I carry my projector so I can put on screen what was coming off of my Apple. I don't try to connect into other, you know, equipment. I just have my own projector, and then that way I know it's going to work because they're compatible with each other, and that's how I do my presentation.
Yeah, Apple's real funny like that. And now Android, I have Android. I like Android better than Apple. However, like, everybody in my house has an Apple, so they can FaceTime each other, and I don't have to FaceTime them, so that's perfect for me. I don't have to deal with all that stuff. So I enjoy my Android because I'm the only one with it. But I do think that the security features is a lot tighter on Apple, and that's pretty much because it's like, all of them, you know. So if you get something from Apple, you got to buy another Apple part. So being that they control that whole ecosystem, with Android is kind of open source, so anyone can write to it, anyone can make things for it. In order for them to have it, so it's open source, you're taking away a lot of the security, you know what I'm saying? So that's why Apple costs so much, you know. That's the key thing to it, is everyone can't afford an Apple.
everyone should be able to, you know, kind of afford a regular laptop, which would be Microsoft, or a regular phone, which would be Android, but they won't be able to afford a $1,000 iPhone. You know what I'm saying? When the Android that does the same exact thing is $300.
Right. This is a matter of preference.
Yeah, because I had to buy that Samsung is because I was on Zoom when we start having Zoom meetings, and to do the presentations, the Zoom would not present the Apple. I mean, the PowerPoint that I had on Apple Zoom, it wouldn't take it. So I had to switch over and keep the file in the cloud. So I just went on the Samsung and put that, and then I was able to show it on Zoom.
And Sister Ashine, will you also be teaching or showing people how to get on the different media platforms, how to use them, like Instagram?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, definitely, especially for the elders. I think we're definitely going to have to do a class for them simply because we don't want them winding up on some of the things that's available on these social media platforms. So that's, I think that's going to be nice for them. I mean, as long as we're able to make sure that they're able to keep in touch with their family, that's going to be pretty much the center of it all, making sure, you know, everyone is programmed, you know, they have easy access to it. So that's going to be like a special course just for them, because I know they're going to need a lot more hands-on and hand-holding than, you know, some of the others.
But even for those that's using it for their business and things like that, you know, just like I'm on all of that, but I just know the bare minimum of how to use them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. We can definitely go over some more in-depth things. I mean, what were you considering? Like, what did you have in mind?
You know, just like if you have a business and you want to promote it on Instagram, you know, YouTube, and I guess I'm not on TikTok, but I am on Instagram. And, you know, just now, how to get around the social media.
Now, I don't do much social media, so I probably can't offer any advice on, you know,
okay,
promotion or anything like that, but just the basics, definitely. But anything more than that, yeah,
okay,
I'm not. But yeah, there is a lot to cover, because I feel like we're already kind of behind, so we got to play catch up big time now.
And this is the thing that I have happen. My mom goes to visit my sister. She's got a regular television with cable and do with the basic still two televisions. The flat screen is what they gave her, and trying to get her to understand how to work a flat screen and a smart TV, that was a challenge, and that whole concept. But my sister has it to where she uses her phone instead of using a remote, and looking at how to convey that and get an elder to see all of these buttons to do what you're doing on a smart television. And to what they had to finally do is get her a remote that she could speak into.
Good idea.
A lot of my elders use dictation for everything. You know, when you have to talk into the phone or your remote, they use that for a lot of things just because it's a lot more convenient. They don't want to type it. They don't want to, you know, channel up so many times. If they're able to search for it by speaking it, then it just makes it a lot easier for them. So I think that's
right.
Just another convenient thing.
Right. And these are the tools that helps in technology and even being able to, I had to learn even with text messaging that you could voice text, and then it's like, okay, text, but how do you got to say stop, then you put in, then you start the next line or next sentence. But if you don't say stop, it's just going to continuously keep putting down as you talk. It's going to keep on going. It doesn't put in punctuation until you tell it to.
Yeah, that's true. But also, that's really, if you look at that, that has been a form of AI that we've been using for quite a while. Like, even before the last few years, dictation's been around. So every time we use it, it gets better. And that's pretty much how AI works. We have to train it now. That's where we come in with our good vibrations and our pure intentions. Because if we come with that, then we can, we have a way to change AI to make it work for us. So that's my whole entire goal.
Okay.
The AI will help the elders. The AI will help the elders more than anything.
Yeah.
Because instead of them having to type and do things to the phone, they could just talk to it, you know, and the AI will understand, well, you know, I want to go on Facebook and I want to send Kwame a message, and it'll just open that up and say what you wanted to type, and it'll send it, you know. So it's going to get easier for the elders once the AI gets embedded in everything. You're just going to talk to it. Elders will also take advantage of those who can still see, to take advantage of the augmented reality glasses. When those come out, the phone will be right in front of their face. They can just move their hand around, hit your name, you know, hit the phone icon, and, you know, they're calling you. So all of that, as the technology gets more artificial, it will make it easier for the elders.
Right.
Okay. So I got a question. Yeah. Now, y'all know how, like, we be talking about, like, you know, the downfall of this technology, right? And, like, the glasses and stuff like that and the VR and all that. But wouldn't this be good for the elderly? Because, like, I hear what you're saying, but, like, if my dad put on those glasses, that would be great for him.
So
he could just touch the sky.
Go ahead. I didn't, we didn't hear you. Who was speaking?
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
No. That was. I don't think we didn't hear Tut.
Tut, what was you saying?
I didn't hear you. I was just saying that one of the key jobs for the AI is to deal with the elderly. When I did the show on technologies and things, jobs that it will be replacing, to deal with the elderly, nobody really wants that job. You know, it's a people job. But the AI will make it so much easier because the elderly will have somebody to talk to. That thing is going to talk back to them. They're going to have true conversations with this thing. How was your day today? My day was just fine and pleasant. How was yours? Oh, mine was pretty good. You know, they'll have someone to talk to.
Don't they have that already with Alexia and what's that other one?
Yeah, but that's just like it's not as fluid as talking to a person. This is gonna be like you're talking like how that chatbot was when they called in and ordered the pizza, how it sounded like a person. It's gonna be like that. You're gonna feel like you're talking to someone. In fact, you can have the AI talk to them in your voice. So you can put your mother in a nursing home and talk to her. She's listening to your voice, you know, talking, but the AI is talking for you. You know, you can do that.
I'm sorry. At some point, we have to stop, okay? Because no, I don't think we really want to go that far just yet. Because I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Megan. No, I don't think that's like we don't. Unless we are the ones that are creating these robots. But if these people are still in control, no, I don't want them anywhere near my elders at all.
No, and I.
No, not a robot. I'm talking about in your phone, like it'll be talking to you. Hey, how are you? Like how Siri works, you know. But it'll be able to have full conversations with you. And for someone lonely, a elderly person, you know, it'll be able to communicate with them. They didn't have that before.
But what I'm seeing is like we have FaceTime. And we have WhatsApp, and to where you could turn on your grandmother lives in Mississippi and you live in New York, and you can FaceTime her with everybody in the house and everybody, and they could be on her screen, on her flat screen or whatever, her computer, her laptop. So she can sit there and conversate with the family and see everybody that's the exchange that I see that this is being able to do, to where we're not just talking on the phone to somebody, we're actually seeing each other as we communicate in real time. And those are the tools that we can begin, as that elder sits in that in that nursing home and her daughter calls her when she gets home, or the grandkid calls her from coming home from school and say, "Grandma, look what I did," and show this. That gives that energy of the absence, but it also gives the presence of someone that they love and being able to see and hear them.
Yeah, FaceTime. Well, that's what we do on FaceTime.
Right.
Right, right. You can also watch movies with your family and go on other apps while y'all FaceTiming, and everybody can see it at the same time, too.
Mm. Right. So it's a lot with this technology, but we have to pick and choose. And like Sister Shine said, no, we're not going to give everybody the charge to be able to create what we have to be able to use it to what we have to put the divine and the humanness back in it. And this is where we have a specialty in how we utilize TI,
mm-hmm.
IT, whatever. But that. It's good, but we got to learn the balance with it, because there's still going to be the humanness, and still you could have all the virtual reality that you with goggles on. It's nothing like walking in grass in the woods as opposed to sitting there at your desk looking at a virtual screen. It's not going to give you the same energy.
No. Mm-hmm. On the new season of Black Mirror, they had an episode where these two guys are out of space, on like a space probe, and they're on a mission, and they're thousands of miles away from Earth. They're just floating out of space. I don't know how long their mission is, but they're going to be gone for a while. And they got little workout equipment and everything in there, and they also have this, like, bed that they lay on. And when they lay on the bed and they put their dog tag in the machine, they're able to have a version of themselves on Earth. Now, the version of themselves on Earth is a robot. And the robot lives in the house with their wife and children. And it's acting or playing the role as them, you know. So when they tap in, now that robot comes to life in the real world, and they're able to, you know, still go to the store, and everything they do in the bed is happening in the real world. And, you know, so nonetheless, this group of people, let's just say, like, they tried to do it like a Charles Manson cult. They showed up at one of these robots' house, and they said, you know, we don't like the fact that we got this robot walking amongst us. So they beat him up, and they killed his wife and kids, who were real, in front of him. So he's out of space watching this all happen, thousands of miles away. You know, his robot is destroyed, but he's still alive. And he just saw his wife and kids killed. So he kind of goes into, you know, this depression. So the other astronaut says, ask his wife when he goes back to the real world, like, listen, how about I have him come back every once in a while, and he can still experience, you know, get a breath of fresh air and feel the wind hit him. And, you know, so I guess whatever they feel, this robot feels, they feel, right? And it goes on from there. But so this is like that Avatar, the movie Avatar technology. And this is a lot like the transhumanist thing that Martine Wolfblatt is talking about, the cyber version of yourself, right? Where they could upload these things into you. But the point I'm trying to make is this technology is going in directions that sound real sci-fi, but it's really what they're trying to do. So the astronaut ended up coming back, and he killed the other astronaut's wife and kids. So now they're both stuck on the ship. Their families is dead. they can't kill one another because they need each other to survive, you know, and that's kind of how it ended. You know what I'm saying? But all because of the robot, man. It was kind of ill. Y'all need to check that episode out. When I started telling the story, it tied into what we was just talking about, but I lost that point. You know what I'm saying? But this is just where the technology is emerging to, and this is where we're going. You know, it's not going to be any slowdown once they get to certain points. You know, they're going to go ahead because it's capitalism. It's money to be made.
Well, and this is why I say, in being able to record those ones and how it was and being able to look back into it, we got to have some type of memory of before and now. And that's just my preference in seeing it.
Thomas, absolutely. What was the name of the episode again of Black Mirror?
It was, I don't know. It was the second episode, though. It was the second episode of Black Mirror. Because I watched the first three. So it was the second one.
They say AI will become sentient, like, within, I believe it already is, so...
Yeah, me too. I think ChatGPT is.
I don't know how
everyone
feels about that. Like, I believe they are already self-aware. If they're creating their own language, you have to be self-aware in order to do that. Also, they're trying to mimic humanism so much that they're trying to even allow them to experience emotions and feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Trying
to give them a soul.
Yeah, but Sister Bev, that's one thing that they can't give them. That's impossible.
Not yet.
Right.
But me personally, I can't wait, man. I can't wait to see this whole thing come together. You know what I'm saying? I hope I'm alive to see it. That's all I say. You know, if this thing starts talking to it, like, it becomes an actual person, like, wow, you know what I'm saying? I'm not one of the people that think it's going to destroy humanity. You know what I'm saying? I think it's going to make humanity better. But in making it better, every time you make, so what they say, the road to hell is paved with great intentions. You know what I'm saying?
You
know, so that's what's going to end up happening. Mm-hmm.
You're going to be like Charlton Heston on Planet of the Apes when he rides on the beach and he sees the Statue of Liberty in sand and he goes, my God, you see what we done did.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's why it's important that we get involved so we don't let it go there.
Right.
Or we can counter it.
Mm-hmm. So we can counter it and control it. Everyone's gonna have their own versions, you know. It's not gonna, and we're all gonna engage with it. But some people you're gonna engage with it and just do what it tells you to do, and some people gonna know how to make it do what you want it to do. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what I'm trying to get to, is we're not being zombies, just controlled by it. Similar to how, like, the kids go to college and they come home and they have these ideologies, and it's like, who embedded this in you? You know what I'm saying? It's strange, but that's just how it works. Like, once this thing comes on, once you allow it to control you, just like they let those ideologies control their way of thinking, they're not thinking for themselves anymore. Now that they have control over you, but as long as you're able to control the technology. You know, and me personally, I think Black people are just too defiant. We don't like people telling us what to do. You know what I'm saying? We're done with that. You know, so we'll be defiant, and we won't be doing the right thing. You know, so I think that'll actually help us in dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. And that's another, instead of saying divine intelligence, we could say defiant intelligence. We defy this artificial because we know it's not what human is about. And the part that I'm seeing with all of this that we're creating is is that the next level of evolution that we're now getting ready to evolve into, and this is the part of us saying from coming from a Homo sapien to a Homo spiritus, moving from a carbon base to a silica base, because technology deals with silica, and this is what we're engineering and creating a new source of tool to create what crystal has always done in this planet, is be able to hold memory and consciousness inside the Earth's core to keep this frequency of this planet.
Yeah, I see like how we took over social media, I see our people taking over this AI and this new age stuff too.
Every
somehow,
day we
some
do.
Way we gonna be on top of it.
That's why I still go
everything
back to
you touch
picking and cooking.
It's just we have to know that we have the confidence to do so and the know-how to just not really even care. One thing I will say is these young people, they are so outspoken with no, like, they just don't care. They're going to say however they feel, and that's something that we haven't seen that in quite a while, in my opinion. So we have to empower them with this knowledge, with this technology, so that are we not relying on them?
They're the future.
So, sis, you just said something real profound. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You just said something real profound. These young kids don't care about nothing. They'll look you straight in your face and tell you, I don't care. Now, we can perceive that as a bad thing, but if we switch their mindset and they still don't have this I don't care mindset, it'll be a good thing. If you could kind of get where I'm going with it. With them having an I don't care mindset and shaping them and tuning them, you know, into the right way and into the IT way, they will have an I don't care mindset anyway. So if we can put them to good use with that I don't care mindset, that'll be best for us.
But that's also where good leaders in the community come in at as well, because even if, you know, they may start off, you know, with the I don't care mindset that's maybe not so good for them or for the community, but if they have someone to guide them and lead them in the right direction, that can always change. That young person can be revolutionary if we empower them. Don't fault them for being outspoken. Allow them to express themselves.
And just don't let them be. Now they like scattered. Like if you can take that and focus it.
Right, channel that.
But a lot of these kids today, they're TikTok babies. They have a 30-second attention span. You know, once 30 seconds is up, that TikTok video is over, and they're on to the next thing. So to get them focused in on something enough to care about it is what we need to do, because they don't care about anything because nothing matters. You know, they just scroll ahead until they find something they like. And it only lasts a few seconds. They get their little dopamine rush, and they're on to the next one they're looking for. We need to cone them into liking something. One thing, you know, they're all, like you said, they're scattered all over the place, but we need people to be focused on solutions to problems and things like that. And I think purposely they put some of this stuff out here to keep them unfocused.
Right.
To keep them with a 30-second attention span, you know, but if they can listen to us, and what I also noticed with them is, talking to them in person, you see, that gets their attention more, because they can't scroll ahead or you know, tune you out, you know, when you're in front of them. They have to make them talk, because they're very antisocial, because they haven't engaged with a lot of people. They engage with people through technology. They engage with people in an artificial means. So when you're in person with them, to try to break down the walls, the barriers they put up because of their insecurities of talking to other people. That's why they don't talk to girls anymore, to guys. You know, they're afraid, you know, because they have this antisocialness about them. I don't know what to say. My kids have it themselves. So to sit down and pry through, to catch something that gets their attention enough for them to stay focused on it, they'll be very, very, very good, you know, in the future. I think they'll be the best generation of blacks ever to live. But they have to stay focused. You need to get them all, get them all Adderall. That's a joke.
No. We are not dosing the children. No, that's what those people do. But I have to totally agree with you. I feel like as long as we give them something that they can be passionate about, because honestly, I feel like it's all about reprogramming them. They have to be reprogrammed in order to become this way. You know, growing up, boys wasn't scared to talk to girls. They would look you in your eye. These little kids, you can't even get them to make eye contact with you because they're just not even used to it. So we have to start with reprogramming them and then gaining their attention with something that they can be passionate enough about that we can keep them, even starting in intervals. We got to start with the basics for real, for real. So even starting in intervals, like 30-minute intervals, things that capture their attention for a longer time span.
But would you say that now, this is my own experience, and having young people come out and camp out and live in nature for a weekend, the experience of transformation I've seen in young people, okay, I had a group of young black boys that came from Black Star School, and they was from 10 to 16 years old. And the part for them when we took them to the corral and put them on horses, the experience that this young boy, he told me, he said, Baba Kwame, and he was sitting back on the horse riding after he got over his fear and he was riding. He said, Baba Kwame, this is better than playing Xbox. And just to hear that, you know, for them to be able to be introduced to something other than technology gives them an opportunity to make choices that, yeah, I can have fun being on the back of a horse as opposed to sitting in the house playing Xbox. So it's we have to be able to give them tools to make choices because they come with purpose. This is all education does is that induce, bring out what's in them. That program of TikTok puts in them that 30-second pleasure dopamine fix because now we got kids that are Wi-Fi addicts. It's worse than crack. It's worse than crack. Try taking a phone from a kid and see how he acts. He acts worse than a junkie.
Way worse. You might have to 302 him.
Well, that's kind of where that balance comes in. You know, for one, we still have to, you know, be one with nature as often as we can because that's the true source of our energy. So that's first and foremost. However, you know, even though everything is still going to be internet and technology based, it has to be more focused on something that can actually be beneficial to them, something that can actually feed their mind instead of just providing them a source of entertainment for 30 seconds to 3 minutes. So we have to just change their focus. Essentially, like I said, they were programmed this way. We didn't raise these kids this way. Well, some of them they were because they were born in the technology era, but this was not always the way is what I'm essentially saying. So we have to get back to reprogramming our children, spending more time with them. It really all comes back to some of the things that we haven't done in a long time. Quality time is not as it doesn't come as often as it used to because we're always busy working, doing something. So we have to get back to reprogramming our children by spending time with them, taking them away from that technology sometimes, but also teaching them whenever they are using it, yeah, maybe do percentages. I'm one for, like, writing something down. So, okay, maybe for this amount of time you get to, you know, watch a little bit of entertainment, but you can always scale that back over time. So try to cut these children off cold turkey. Y'all gonna have to deal with that fight, not me.
Yeah, these kids they will, like I said, you might have to 302 one of them. Like, they will go bananas. My niece, she was acting up in school. She graduated high school this year. But her 10th grade year, she was acting up in school, fighting, all types of stuff. Her mom took her phone away. Y'all, when I tell you she went berserk, like a drug addict, she went berserk. Took a knife to the couch, like all types of stuff. And I asked her, like, what the hell is your problem? Like, she was like, Uncle, you don't understand. Like, our lives is on technology. Like, she could have took anything away from me. But the phone, though, like, my life is on there. She was like, I don't think y'all understand how much our lives is on there. And I said, I know that. MySpace was started when I was in 11th grade, so I know what technology is. Like, but you ain't had to go that far. But, yeah, trying to cut them off cold turkey, I don't see it.
But if you want it back, what else can you do with it other than use it for entertainment? I'm going to give you this amount of time. Show me what else you can do with this other than just using it for entertainment, because I don't condone that. As parents,
right,
we have to step up a little bit more and be more in control. And I know these children are used to kind of having their way, but we can't, if we want to be back in control, we can't allow that to happen.
Right, but what I'm seeing, what you're talking about with IT training and with the STEM programs, okay, yes, they understand TikTok, they understand Facebook, but do you know how this works? Can we show you how this is all put together? And being able to sit them in a class and let them see how this program, TikTok works. What is it that you, okay, it's this, but how does that work? What program did they use to put this together? How did they come up with this concept, and how does this algorithm work? Begin to teach them the inside of what they're using.
And also how they use. I want to teach them even how the algorithms are used against us. You know, I would like, especially the children that are, I would say from the ages of 7 to maybe 12 to 13, I want to ask them, okay, whenever you see a certain video and you watch that video, do you not continue seeing those same type of videos? And, you know, how, I don't know, I'm nobody's psychologist, but I want to know, like, how, if you keep seeing the same thing over and over again, because we have to understand, these children are dealing with trauma porn, they're dealing with so many different things that they are having to visualize and experience, whether they want to or not. If it's something that may seem, even in the most least fascinating way, if it's something that is going to capture your attention, it has your attention already. So they don't even have any control, but teaching them that, okay, you actually don't have to watch that video. Even though, yeah, it may be a little, of course, it may be interesting to continue watching, but you can't. I use a common term that I use, and I say you have to reject the download. So, yeah, we have to teach our children to reject the download, because that's not something that we want them to experience on a daily or on a frequent basis throughout the day.
But what you...
Yeah, we have to teach them how to use social media properly and understand
right,
how the algorithms work. But go ahead.
Yeah, but what you're sharing is very much on point, because this is why we have now these labels, especially in elementary school, that now you want to put this child on Ritalin because he's what? Attention deficit disorder. He can only focus on 30 seconds. He can't sit there in the classroom and focus on something because his mind has been programmed before he got in that classroom in seeing these type of features on those phones that we gave them. I mean, they have children walkers now that a child, you put an iPad up over this child's walker and he walks around with this walker and the iPad, or you put it over his bassinet. This is how we are introducing our children to this technology. Babies have iPads.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all.
Well, We are getting down to our last few minutes here, and any last words? And also, Sister Shine, give out your email again so people can get on your waiting list for your class that you're going to be teaching to learn how to deal with this technology.
Yes, it's tmattcou@gmail.com.
All righty.
Thank you, Sister Bev. Thank you, family, for having me. I appreciate everyone's questions and comments.
And thank you for the work that you're doing.
And thank us, John.
Yes.
Yep. Thank us.
All right, Tugmos, do you have any thing you want to say before we leave?
No. Next week we're going to start with the finishing out the human enhancement.
Okay.
And everyone have a great one.
All right. Better love, everyone. Thanks for joining. Thanks for the round table. Thanks for the listeners. Thanks.
Better love, y'all.
Better love.
Better love.
Be back tomorrow with Dr. X.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our shows together, we're polishing up our act.
songs I ain't buying.
People.